The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. It's on page 119 of the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Allow me to read the words of God. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen. This is from a newspaper article published in May of 2016. A lady named Yu Sun was born in China and spent her youth mired in poverty, and later moved to the U.S. She received a full scholarship to Princeton University and received her doctoral degree in electrical engineering. She is a self-made woman, and currently she is the vice president of the New York Life Insurance Company. She was supposed to have a fancy wedding at a hotel in New York City, but she called it off when her fiancé proposed a prenup 2 months before the ceremony. But she had already paid a non-refundable $8,000 reception deposit. She thought about what to do, and so even though the wedding was off, she decided to hold a party for low-income families, single mom teenagers, and adoptive families living around the neighborhood. She even changed the date to a luncheon before Mother's Day. With the help of a charity organization in New York, she invited more than 60 children and adults. Face painting artists and balloon artists entertained the guests, and Yu-sun's colleagues offered to pay for them. Other colleague also participated as the official photographer of the event. Among the guests, some played the piano and others ukulele to offer thanks to her, enlivening the party. Yu-sun entered the place in a white gown and said, "Although I can't be the princess of my wedding day, all these kids can have the princess or the prince feeling today, so I can feel very happy about that." Guests of the party had not been invited to the original wedding. None of the guests to the wedding had been invited to the real party either. Today's scripture testifies how people who usually are not invited have been asked to attend. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Israelites thought the kingdom of God was like a banquet. It was even more so during the time of Jesus, since there was no special joy for them due to the reign of the Roman Empire and long-lasting poverty. A banquet was the time where there was abundant food, laughter, and meetups with missed loved ones. So I explained last week that while today's scripture is about a wedding banquet on paper, it is really about a banquet at the kingdom of God, the story about the kingdom of God. The master, after he completed the preparations for the banquet, sent his servant to invite new guests. In the Gospel of Matthew, there is a similar story, and the banquet is compared to a wedding party for the son of a king. It describes how much care the king provided for the wedding. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 4. "Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' The king butchered his oxen and fattened cattle. The word used for oxen, taurus, indicates that it was the biggest type of ox. When an ox is butchered, there are carcass percent and fresh meat percent. Blood, head, leather, and intestines of a live ox are considered the carcass percent, and the fresh meat separated from the bones and fat is considered the fresh meat percent. If a 600-kilogram ox is butchered, the weight of the carcass is about 360 kilograms, and the meat weighs about 250. Since you can also eat the intestines, the edible part of the meat from a 600-kilogram ox is about 300 kilograms. Since one individual portion is about 200 grams, then with just one ox, about 1,500 people can share. But the scripture uses the plural form of an ox, not a singular form. So at least two oxen have been butchered. If two have been butchered, 3,000 people could share, and with three, 4,500 people could share. With 10 oxen, 15,000 people could eat together. But not only was the oxen butchered, but fattened cattle as well. They referred to sheep, goat, and chicken, all also in the plural form. And they were all prepared for. Thus, we can see how much food the king had prepared for his son's banquet and how many people he must have invited so that nothing would be lacking. God invites people to the banquet of the kingdom of God in abundance and with perfect care. Even though the master, the king, had prepared for the banquet with such abundance and care, people responded like this according to the scripture. Verses 18 and 19. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." One person blamed the financial situation, while others blamed work. Another person says he needs to tend after family issues, and so they all gave excuses for not attending. They're not missing out because they had wasted their lives to fulfill worldly desires or to commit evil deeds. They said they could not attend because of daily errands and responsibilities to take care of. God tells us to be stewards of belongings given to us and to be truthful and faithful in our workplaces, schools, and families. But we must not forget that if we do not trust God on a personal level and instead trust things given to us by God, those things can lead us to stumble and fix our eyes on the world instead of looking towards eternity. Even when those things may seem to take care of our lives, we may not fail to live by the truth and instead by our self-driven desires due to those things. So Apostle Paul refers to David's message to give advice to those who refuse the calling and invitation from God. Romans chapter 11, 9 and 10 testifies, "May their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever." Their table can become a snare and a trap that causes them to stumble and face defeat. The table refers not only to the kitchen table, but the work, family, and economic activities that allow the table to exist. Without obedience to the calling of God, our table can become the charging station for sin. On the other hand, our table can become a charging station of truth, life, and freedom if we have hearts obedient to God's calling. Through the spiritual power, we can live lives following the eternal value system on this earth and become channels of life leading others to God. So even if we eat the same meal, the meaning can be entirely different. Moreover, one who does not obey God's calling has darkened eyesight. Of course, one will think that he is looking straight. But one with darkened eyesight will not be able to figure out that he has blurry eyes by himself. When a moth sees the light, it instinctively flies over there. It must think that it is headed in the right direction. But even if the moth may have seen the light of a fire, it cannot see the inside and beyond the fire. So after flying towards it, the moth is burned to death. Apostle Paul was intelligent and passionate about the law, so he thought he was making the right choices better than anyone else. He did not know at all that he was delusional. But on the way to Damascus, he met the resurrected Jesus and the scales fell off from his eyes. He thought that he had been wearing the right pair of glasses during his life, but in reality, he had been wearing lenses made of fish scales. This is not just the story of Paul. All of our stories are like this. After refusing to answer to the calling of God, when we finally gave in and met Jesus on a personal level, we realized that we had been wearing glasses made of fish scales. This is not all. One who disobeys the calling of God is like a spiritually crippled person who is unable to see the sky and only look at the ground because his spine is twisted. Even if we are able to attain much wealth and honor by working until our spine becomes crooked, we cannot lengthen our lives by a minute. And what we attain do not help us to live lives of eternity. When people gave excuses to not attend the party, the master gave a command to the servant. Let's look at verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." When the master invited people at first, he was very polite about it. He sent the servant in advance to check whether they can attend, and sent him again after the preparations for the banquet were done. But this time was different. He wasn't inviting them officially, but was asking for people to take unoccupied seats. He did not ask about their opinions, whether they liked the banquet, or whether they are thinking of attending. It almost seems impolite and gives the impression, "Let's get rid of this food we prepared." But this is a literary satire. It is providing a comparison that by one person's failure, it leaves for the God's grace to be transferred to someone else. The similarity of all the invited people was that they were marginalized people who had no excuse to reject the banquet invitation. They were people who would be able to come whenever they are invited, and at the banquet would be joyful and thankful for the invite. In contrast to the people who could not come because of the new field, the poor cannot afford to buy fields. At the time, the mentally disabled and physically impaired people also could not buy oxen, and even if they could, they would not know how to use them due to their disabilities. Consequently, the poor and the disabled at the time had to live in such conditions, so it was almost impossible for them to get married. So they could not give any excuses and were people who didn't have any excuses to offer. For them, invitation itself was a reason for joy. The people at the time thought that people experienced poverty because God did not bless them, and people are born with disabilities or become disabled in life because of their sins or curse from God. Consequently, they could be considered to represent the sinners. Following the master's order, many were invited, but there were still spaces left. So the master told his servant, in verse 23, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." The poor and the disabled in the streets and alleys of the town had seen other people hold banquets all the time. Even if they wanted to be invited, and attend the banquet, their condition and status were far from receiving invitations to such banquet. On the other hand, people on the roads and country lanes had no expectations that they would be invited to such banquet at all. And some people didn't even know such parties existed. So if people in the streets and alleys of the town, the poor and disabled, represent the sinners, then those in the roads and country lanes represent the foreigners. Foreigners are people living outside the boundary. They may not be in lack of something, unlike the people in the streets and alleys of the town. They may not be poor, nor have physical disabilities. But they can only be met if we go out of town. People usually experience warmth and comfort inside the fence. No matter how much money or social status one may have, a person that does not live within a fence of encouragement from family or friends will always feel anxious and lonely. Because the official guest rejected the banquet of the kingdom of God, it was not open to those who lived in loneliness and despair beyond the fence. In the metaphor used in today's scripture, people who initially refused the invitation point towards the teachers of the law and Pharisees who argued that they are righteous according to the law that their ancestors had interpreted, forgetting the real meaning and rejecting Jesus to the end, and also the Jewish people who agreed with them. And those who attend the banquet were people with jobs that were considered unclean, such as the tax collectors, prostitutes, and shepherds, and the marginalized people, such as those who lived under shame because of the people who considered disabilities and diseases as God's curse, and foreigners who were not even treated like human beings. If applied to today's society, then people who reject the banquet are people who refuse to be under the reign of God because they trust whatever they have and what their status is, regardless of who they are and what they have. On the other hand, regardless of who they are and what they have, people who trust God are those who attend the banquet instead of relying on themselves or what they own. We are not so shocked by this metaphor that Jesus tells us because we relate less with those who rejected the invitation to the banquet and more with those on the streets and by the fence since we are attending the sermon right now. But we should give this more thought. Even if our appearance resembles the latter, our reality could be hinting towards the former. In other words, even though we are at the banquet, if we still argue for my thoughts and my will to control God, then we are the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. To those people being built together in Jesus Christ will be difficult. There is a retired professor named Tony Campolo who used to teach sociology at Eastern University in Pennsylvania, the U.S. He is also a pastor of a Baptist church. He wrote a book titled The Kingdom of God is a Party, which I shared a long time ago and want to share again. Professor Campolo once visited Honolulu in Hawaii. Since there was a 6-hour time difference between where he lived and Hawaii, he was prepared to go to work by 3 a.m. local time, 9 a.m. in Eastern Standard Time, and wanted to have some breakfast. So he walked outside and could find only one place open, a greasy spoon. He reluctantly went in, but he didn't even want to touch the menu. But there was no other option. Professor Campolo ordered a cup of coffee and a donut, and the owner, Harry, smoked with a greasy hand, poured coffee, and picked out a donut for him. He tried to comfort himself over coffee and the donut, and about 30 minutes passed. At 3:30, the restaurant door opened, and about 8 to 9 women walked in. They were wearing showy clothes and all seemed to have a character. Especially the lady who sat next to Professor Campolo used very vulgar language. He thought he had sat in the wrong seat and tried to take off. Then he heard her say, Girls, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'm already 39 years old. Then a friend made fun of her. So what? What do you want me to do for you? You want me to buy a cake and sing a birthday song? Then the lady sitting next to Professor Campolo said, Do you have to be so mean? I've never had someone celebrate my birthday, and I don't expect it in the future either. After the woman left, he asked the owner, Harry, Do they come here every night? He replied that they do. So Professor Campolo asked again, Does the lady sitting to my right come here every night? Yes, Agnes, that lady. She comes every night. Why? Tomorrow is her birthday, apparently. What if we hold a birthday party for her here tomorrow? Harry replied, Great, that's a great idea. Harry even told his wife the idea. Professor Campolo said, I will come by tomorrow at 2:30 a.m. to decorate and also with a cake. Harry said that he will prepare the birthday cake. The next day, Professor Campolo started to decorate from 2:30 a.m., posting a sign, Agnes, Happy Birthday, with various color tapes. Harry's wife must have spread the news, so by 3:15 a.m., the small restaurant in the streets of Honolulu was filled with ladies, and Professor Campolo was in the middle of it. By 3:30 a.m., Agnes and her friends entered. Professor Campolo and other ladies had planned it in advance, so when they entered, they yelled out, Happy Birthday! Professor Campolo had never seen someone seem so surprised in his life. Agnes couldn't close her mouth, and she started to shake her legs. Her friends barely calmed her down and then sang her the birthday song. Agnes started to cry in the middle of the song and wailed by the end. Soon later, Harry said, Let's blow the candles and share the cake. Otherwise, I'm gonna blow it. Agnes couldn't blow it, so Harry did so on her behalf and gave her the knife to share it with others. Agnes said with a timid voice, Is it okay if I do not cut it yet? I live two homes away. I'd like to show it to my mother and then come back to share. She carefully took out the cake as if it was a holy grail. When the door closed, there was silence in the restaurant. Professor Campolo suggested, "How about we pray?" Then he prayed for Agnes's salvation and her new life and for her friends in the streets. When he ended the prayer, Harry asked with a negative connotation, "Hey, why did you tell me that you're a sociologist, but not that you're a preacher? What type of church do you belong to?" Professor Campolo replied, "I belong to a church that holds a birthday party for women in the streets at 3:30 in the morning." Harry said with a sneering face, "Don't joke with me. There's no church like that. If such church exists, I'd already be attending it. If such church exists, then I want to attend it." How did the banquet of the Kingdom of God approach us? How do we experience the grace of this banquet every day, every week, and every year? Is it because we were invited twice to the big banquet by the Master and said yes? When was the starting point of living a new life because you were thankful for God's invitation as you experienced the grace that the world cannot provide? At the time, didn't you live in the streets and alleys of the town and outside the fence? Weren't you grateful for God's banquet when you realized that only the Lord embraces you when no one called you and understood you? Wasn't the invitation itself the reason for Thanksgiving? In Luke chapter 10, there's a story about the Good Samaritan who helped the person who met robbers. The person who was robbed did not receive help from the people within the fence. He rather received help from an unexpected person, a Samaritan who he didn't associate himself with. If he had not met those robbers, his thoughts and life would not have extended beyond the fence. So the pain and conflicts we meet in our lives cannot defeat us because we can taste the banquet of the Kingdom of God beyond those difficulties. As we consider the Master who invited us as the purpose of our life in the banquet of the Kingdom of God, we will be built together in Him every day. And as we are built together, we will become faithful channels that lead people in the streets, alleys of the town, roads, and country lanes to the banquet of the Kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for inviting us to the banquet of the Kingdom of God and allowing us to be here. Until we breathe the last breath on this earth, may we not be mistaken that we can live well away from this banquet just because we bought some field or we need to test the ox or because we are preoccupied by our obstinate thoughts. Even when we meander in the streets and alleys of the town, outside the fence, in loneliness, defeat, and despair because no one invited us, may we always remember that you called us to the banquet of the kingdom of God. May we not turn into teachers of the law or the Pharisees after attending the banquet. And help us to become the bridge to bring people in the streets and alleys to God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.